What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 235 of the Cheesy Controller Podcast. I'm your host, Anton LaPlatte. Joining me, as always, we have the Mecha Stardew Valley, Chris Montalbano.
What's up, everybody?
And we got the most generous Quinn the Sea, Jalen Roberts.
Hey, look, more games to kind of not play.
We got a jam-packed episode for you guys this week. We're going to be talking about the Nintendo Direct, so that includes information about Vampire Survivors, The Legend of Zelda amiibos, the new 2D Mario, the Super Mario RPG remake, and then finally we close out with some talk about Final Fantasy 16. You know it was inevitable. All right. This week, it's been a busy week. We're back on regular schedule, relatively, you know. Only a day behind. But somehow it'll go out a day earlier. So it all balances out. But we had Nintendo Direct this week. And after last week going through the Xbox showcase, I think we should get right into it on getting through these stories. It's a lot shorter. It was a lot shorter of a presentation. It's a lot shorter of a list of stories to talk about. Yeah. And there's stuff that is straight up, there's interesting stuff on here. So things to get hype about, things that just completely are dead face about. So first, and this is in no particular order, even though the Pokemon DLC was the first thing they showed, this list that we're reading off is not in any particular order. So, they opened showing the Scarlet and Violet DLC packs 1 and 2. The, was it the Verdant Mask and the Blue Disc or something like that?
Indigo Disc? Mask? Teal Mask and Indigo Disc.
Okay.
The Color DLC series.
I mean, the DLCs... Since they've been doing DLCs, the DLCs have all kind of had a color theme.
That's what I'm saying. And it's like, once you finish all the colors, you get into the secret of Section Zero or some bullshit like that.
Well, apparently, like, that's the overarching thing, is the Area Zero.
Yeah.
The hidden treasure of Area Zero. So,
it's interesting. I wish I could speak more. I haven't beaten this game yet.
Yeah, I kind of... I'm still interested in playing Scarlet, but I'm just not 100% sure. Like, I didn't beat Zelda before 16 came out, and then, like, from 16 going, like, all my anticipated upcoming stuff is on PlayStation. So, like, I might go back for Zelda, but I don't want to go back for Zelda and Pokemon, you know?
Yeah, that's going to take some. I mean, I would honestly, if I go back, I would have to, I think, start over. I picked Sprigatito, and I can't get with that final evolution, so I probably would go to Fuecoco.
Yeah. If I picked it up, like, Fuecoco is definitely, like, locked in.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Jalen, you thinking of checking out these Pokemon games?
No. No, I've realized Pokemon doesn't offer the experience that I want, so I'm just going to enjoy my SMT games.
There you go.
All right. Well, sticking on the RPG train, Super Mario RPG is getting remake.
That's the one important thing. That's the one thing Nintendo gave me. They didn't say shit about Metroid, but they're like, here's your Mario RPG. Because, heck,
Gina's back.
Right. Right, and it's hilarious of how much the Genos and Smash community has made people not realize how popular the Smash Brothers, not the Smash Brothers, the Mario RPG was back then. Like, it was everywhere.
Right, I mean, Nintendo and Square collaborating, and this was right before Final Fantasy VII was, like, announced for PlayStation, and, like, Square and Nintendo, like, had that, like, long-standing beef over that, because Final Fantasy was NES and SNES series 1-6.
And then Sony did what Sony does best, give a lot of money to a studio to make shit exclusives, but pretend it's not an exclusive.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't back then. They did, definitely weren't pretending like it wasn't exclusive. Like, 7 was synonymous. I mean, 7 still is synonymous with PlayStation. The fact that it just came out on Switch, like, within the last 5 years, the first time Final Fantasy VII had ever been released on a Nintendo system was, like, mm-hmm. within the last 5 years. So, yeah, 7 is still synonymous. Like, 7 Remake isn't on Switch.
Yeah. But let's be real, the Switch can't run the 7 Remake.
Could do the cloud version, because why not?
If you're gaming that way,
fucking cloud gaming, so
bad for you.
Hey, I mean,
like, the Xbox one is fine. The Nintendo one is not that great.
I mean, the Switch can barely run Paladins and Overwatch, let alone 7 Remake.
I think it could do it.
You think it could do it?
Yeah, you think they could dumb it down? Won't happen though, because they're not even putting that out on Xbox. Like, it looks like it's not coming to Xbox until all three parts are out. And considering the first part is a last gen game, the second part's probably the only part we're getting this generation, and then it'll be next generation when we get the third part. Like, Xbox is going to be missing out on at least 7 Remake and 16. Like, yeah, Square is still kind of... They'll play the field with Nintendo and PlayStation, but it's really PlayStation is getting the majority. The only, like, Square game of recent note that we didn't get was Octopath Traveler 1. And maybe Triangle Strategy, because that's, like, weird Nintendo exclusives, but... There are no Square games on Xbox that... Well, except Octopath Traveler 1 that aren't on PlayStation.
Yep.
Alright, so... While we're on Square, Dragon Quest Monsters, that's finally coming west. I'm not sure if this is the first one or if this is the newest one, but I saw Akira Toriyama art and I saw Dragon Quest enemies. So, and they played the same, not even...
It is new. It is new. Yeah.
Okay. So
I think it's a sequel to one of the Monsters games. It's one of those sub spin-off games.
Yeah.
Dragon Quest Monsters. This one is going to be called the Dark Prince.
There's going to be the Dark Prince too.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. We're like, give us like another 10 years. We're going to get a Dark Prince too.
All right. Then they did a deep dive into Pikmin 4. And announced Pikmin 1 and 2 are coming to Switch, so you can play right now Pikmin 1 through 3 all on Switch. And then
Pikmin 1 and 2, Pikmin 1 and 2 is currently the third highest selling game on Switch right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's almost like Nintendo. If you make it so people can play your shit, people will give you money to play your shit.
I mean, they've been pretty good about, like, their relative accessibility. The Switch, that's one thing. Like, this Nintendo Direct feels like we're entering the end of the life cycle for the Switch. Like, I think there was a game they gave a 2024 date to, but, like, Princess Peach could be after the next Switch is out. Like, it's still technically coming to...
Oh, yeah.
The current Switch.
Yeah, that, like, I'm going to say this right now. I thoroughly believe we won't see Metroid Prime 4 until year 2 of whatever the new console is.
Well, I could see them doing a cross-gen.
Or launch.
Yeah, I think launch, but they haven't said anything about it since.
Well, because when they do say something, they need to have a date and gameplay and like a demo, and they gotta...
Yeah, you can't tell us anything because we'll start making really weird and fucked up expectations about things we know nothing about.
Right.
Because we just start writing game development fan fiction until the game comes out and it's not what we fantasized about, and now we're pissed and we call the game bad.
That's very true.
Right, so... Yeah, one of the rumors around this Nintendo Direct was that we were going to get Metroid Prime 2. and they were just going to do like once a quarter, put out Metroid Prime 1, 2, and 3, and then do 4.
That would be sick.
I mean, really.
That would be sick, because 2 is my favorite. Corruption is great, but Echoes, it's really just Echoes. Echoes is so good.
Yeah, so that would be cool. I mean, if they have the entire Pikmin series, the series that started on GameCube, why not do the entire Metroid Prime series? So yeah.
Again.
Shout out Rusty Rupees for the raid. Oi, hey, to everybody in chat. Can I get more ois in chat? But yeah, everybody, welcome in. We're talking about the Nintendo Direct, which I'm sure the rupees were just talking about. Yeah. So you get to hear a double dose of internet nerds talking about Nintendo. All right, so the next headline we have is they're talking about the next evolution of 2D side-scrolling Mario fun, which is Super Mario Bros. Wonder, and it's canonical now that Mario's on shrooms, like we suspected it this entire time.
I mean,
it's 100% confirmed by the appearance of Elephant Mario.
I mean, homie was a plumber who went down pipes and is in this magical land. This sounds like a very good acid trip.
I mean, he takes a remember, small Mario is regular Mario. Uh-huh. So he takes a mushroom and gets big. He eats a flower and catches on fire. Like, yeah, this tracks.
Yeah.
Can't forget about the leaf and turns into a
flower. It's the wonder flower that turns him into Elephant Mario and makes weird things happen. Like the... Are you watching the trailer, Chris?
Yeah.
Yeah, so like 100% confirmed, Mario's on shrooms.
This is an acid trip fever dream.
But it looks cool, like the fact that
it does look really cool. I like the
somewhat different Mario. It's not like straight up the new Super Mario Brothers style that we've been with since the DS. Like it's a slightly different style. It's not as close to the Mario movie as I was expecting from the next Mario game. Like I was expecting them to capitalize on it, but to give them their fair credit, they have had this direct show that they had a lot of stuff in the Mario pipeline to like coincide with the movie. So we got a new 2D game, which we haven't gotten in like a decade. Because it was Wii U.
Yep.
New Super Mario Brothers U was the last like true 2D Mario game we got. So it's been a long time since we've gotten one of these. And yeah, Mario Wonder.
It's cool.
Okay, so now getting into the third-party stuff. So that was kind of all the Nintendo first-party titles that we had to talk about. So getting into the third-party, we got Sonic Superstars, which I think that first showed up at Summer Games Fest, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And yeah, this is something I've already seen. Super hyped for it.
Hey, you know, Amy's playable for the first time in a long time. That wasn't... I think this might have been the first time she's actually been playable in a platformer since Adventure 1. No, yeah, Heroes. Heroes. It was Sonic Heroes. She had an entire team around her.
Yeah, but that was a 3D... Like,
right, this is the 2D... first 2D game where we actually got to play as Amy at all.
So, that's really interesting. And, like, 2D platformer fans are eating right now because between this and Mario... Like, Sonic and Mario both getting 2D revitalizations, modernizations. Fans of both of those series are eating me. So, I'll probably check out Mario Wonder because I think it comes out, like, the same day as Spider-Man 2. So, I'll probably check it out when the next the Mario movie ass. Comes out. Or, like... Yeah. I'll be like, you know, because it's not going on sale, so there's no real rush to get it. Like, it's not like Nintendo is going to do pre-order bonuses or anything like that. So, there's no real urgency to play this for me.
Right.
Personally. Because I haven't, like, I beat Odyssey, but I didn't beat New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe on Switch, and I didn't beat 3D World plus Bowser's Fury, because I got that when I saw the Mario movie. I was like, hey, it's the one Mario game on Switch I don't have. So, and now this one will sit there and wait until, you know, I feel the hankering for a new Mario experience, and it'll be there, and it'll be great. These games are timeless.
They are.
All right. Palia, this is a free-to-play online multiplayer sim game. Seems like a cozy kind of game. Definitely not speaking to me whatsoever. I'm good. If I'm going to farm, I'm going to play multiplayer Stardew Valley with Chris.
Honestly.
Or Island Sanctuary in 14. That also is a... that's an option.
Has anybody done that? Has anybody, like, gone to other people's farms in 14?
You know who has done it. If anybody... there's somebody in chat who guaranteed has spent significant time in Island Sanctuary... for the
Juwan has done it.
Yeah.
Has anybody gone to his farm and like...
No. I legitimately have the quest. And it's like, go depart on this to like do the island stuff. And I'm like...
I'll get to it. I get to it.
Palia straight up looks like Fable 2 on the Xbox in an open world that is calmer.
Yeah.
Less English culture around it.
less Brits.
Yeah.
All right. So the next game was Persona 5. Is it Tactica? Is it Tactica? Is it...
No, it's Tactica.
Yeah, it's Tactica.
I've been reading it as Tactica this entire time.
Where are you getting that extra T from?
I gotta know.
Because Tactica has three T's in it. That only has two. Tactica.
You're not wrong. So, Persona 5 Tactica, it's confirmed for Switch now, 100%. Weird.
Unlike 3 Reload.
Right. So, that was a weird thing that there were three Atlas games at Xbox's show, and only one of them... showed up here, and I mean it kind of tracks for how the Persona series has operated, because I don't think the dancing games are available anywhere but PlayStation still, but somehow 4 Arenas available on Switch.
Atlas does what they want.
It
makes sense for like system hardware, like Tactica, like, it has a... It's not that... I don't see it being more visually intensive than, let's say, Rabbids. Than any of the Rabbids Tactics games.
Well, let's even stick with the Persona series. There's no way 3 Reload is going to be more physically demanding than Persona 5 Royal.
Is that on Switch?
Yes.
Supposed to be.
Is it Cloud on Switch or just...
Running native on Switch hardware locally. Huh. Yeah, Persona 5 Royal straight up on Switch.
I gave up on Persona 5 so long ago, I have no idea where it actually is.
It's everywhere, pretty much.
I mean, they're trying to milk it as hard as they did 4.
It's free on PlayStation 4, right? Or do they take that off?
Oh, yeah, that's gone. And that was base Persona 5. Like, anybody who has played Persona 5 will tell you don't play base Persona 5. Play Persona 5 Royal. And, I mean, that goes on sale consistently enough. And is it's on Game Pass if
you
really want to play it. So
I can't. Nah, at this point in my life, if your game is over 60 hours long and the only thing people talk about are the first 30 hours and the last 10 hours... I don't think it's a game I need to be playing.
I thought that game was pretty consistent through and through.
I think I've said this multiple times about 5. I think 5's entirely too long for no damn reason.
And just Royal's even longer, but it seems like it makes better use of your time.
But yeah.
Honestly, I can't. At this point in my life, if you're not like an MMO that's drowning you in like just content, I don't see the point in a game being that long, especially a single player game.
Over 100 hours is like sizable, especially with 16 being out and by all accounts, like a completionist playthrough of 16 is like 70 hours.
Yeah.
Hey, in the amount of time it would take to beat base 5, you could beat every other Persona game and have time to run matches of Ultimax.
Is that true?
Yes. I did the math on podcast.
We've done this already.
And I did the math.
I do want to say I think I beat Persona 4 Golden in like 4 days.
Yeah.
During like the pandemic. Because, I mean, that's all I did all day. But it was like, yeah.
3 and 4 are both 40 hours.
And I killed a god. So I got the good ending.
Yeah.
All right. So, getting to the next game. It says, step into it. See, Mythforce? This is, yeah, Mythforce, step into a Saturday morning cartoon. It's a first-person roguelike.
Yeah, it, honestly, I'm outside of, like, the way the combat is, it really feels like old SMT dungeon crawling. Because, like, Persona 1 and 2 and some of the older SMT games all had that first-person dungeon crawling. It looks good, and I like the art style. No, no. You know what it is? This is fucking Elder Scrolls Arena. That's what it is. That's what this is. But a Saturday morning cartoon.
But a Saturday morning. Yeah.
Old PC games that, you know, old PC and PlayStation games that, you know, no one designs like anymore.
Yeah.
All right. So
I feel that.
Then they talked about Splatoon 3. The next Splatfest is ice cream based. If do you like vanilla, strawberry, or mint chocolate? And I think they did mint chocolate so it wouldn't look like poop all over the ground.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's definitely why they did it.
Like, apparently mint chocolate is a very Japanese thing.
So they've learned.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, mint chocolate is good, but also, like, they learned from ketchup and mustard. No. They learned from the ketchup and mustard splat fest of Splatoon 2.
Even that wasn't as bad as it. It was mayo and, was it mayo and ketchup?
Yep. It was condiments.
Yeah, that was before it was three ways. That was, yeah, but it was mayo. Yeah.
CSI crime scene heard.
Special victims unit. All right, they showed. I thought it was weird the way this trailer started. I was like, wow, they opened with Pokemon and then circled back to Pokemon. But they have Detective Pikachu Returns, which is the sequel to Detective Pikachu that we were promised, even though we were supposed to get a remaster of the original Detective Pikachu on Switch that somehow still hasn't happened. The Detective Pikachu lore is weirdly
You ever wanted
complex.
A Professor Layton game that had the plot of a Tomorrow Never Dies, the James Bond movie? That's the first Detective Pikachu game.
Is that...
Yes. The plot is straight up Tomorrow Never Dies.
I'm talking about the movie, though, because I haven't...
No, I'm not talking about the movie. I'm talking about the game.
I have the Amiibo.
Mm-hmm.
So the game is not... Or the movie is not based on the game.
I don't know. I haven't seen the movie.
Ah. You haven't seen... That's a pretty good movie, actually.
Yeah, it's a...
It was decent.
I went and I saw it opening weekend, and there were kids in the theater like, oh, that's a Torterra. I was like, you know... Maybe we're not absolutely doomed. The fact that the kids are still connecting with Pokemon and they're going back to Gen 4 for the callouts, yeah.
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 Oh my god, this Pikachu is straight up a grimy New Yorker fucking detective.
Yeah, hard-boiled. Yeah. There was a petition for Danny DeVito to be his voice in the movie because he wasn't voiced in the 3DS game.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a petition for Danny DeVito to voice him in the movie, but yeah, he loves his coffee. It's like a noir style crime.
I love it.
You know, Pokemon can't have alcohol, so they got
Pikachu.
He loves his coffee.
Bro, bro. Pikachu is going to call someone toots.
Honestly, that would be amazing if he called like a skitty or a meow toots. That'd be hilarious. I would die laughing. Honestly, it would be funnier if all Danny DeVito said was Pika Pika and it had subtitles. that would be comedy Pika, genius right there. Pika. I know, toots.
All right. So, going, they announced that the Batman Arkham trilogy is coming to Switch, which is there still not a platform where Arkham Knight runs well? The fact that these aren't...
I mean, the PlayStation version of Arkham Knight actually runs pretty decently at this point, because that's where I played it, and I didn't have too many... Actually, I didn't have any issues, really.
Okay.
Other than the fact that the game kind of sucked, but, you know, outside of that.
Yeah, but, I mean, it makes sense, like, power-wise with the Switch, that Arkham Asylum and Arkham City obviously could run, because those were both, like, Xbox 360 PS3 gen game, so it totally makes sense that they could run. But I don't know, Arkham Knight, and even like the little bit of the trailer that was Arkham Knight was the worst looking part of the trailer. I was like, oof. But I mean, it's Nintendo's making the Switch the de facto, like, do you want to play an old game? Yes. Where is it available? 9 times out of 10, Switch.
Yeah.
Between like the Nintendo online service and then like all these just random ports like Nier Automata, Persona. Like, we need Metal Gear Rising Revengeance. Please and thank you. But Gloomhaven is a board game that's getting a video game adaptation.
Wait, it was a tabletop game?
I'm not sure if it's tabletop.
Oh, it is a tabletop game. Okay. It is. It has its own second edition, too.
Oh.
Or at least they're working on a second edition.
Right. So, is second edition tied in with the game? The video game?
No. No, it has nothing. At best, all the game would do is... put eyes. It's like, hey, if you like this and you have friends that you see in real life, why don't you actually get the game? Get back the second edition with some revisions.
All right. So then the next headline we have is Just Dance 2024.
I mean, a Switch staple.
Yeah. I mean, a Ubisoft
staple. One of the few consistent moneymakers Ubisoft has.
That's true.
I mean, all of their moneymakers are consistent moneymakers. It's just not making money for... None of them are particularly making money from people like us.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, Just Dance hasn't had a dip in quality yet. Like, they've been actually consistent games.
Yeah, it's a platform now, which is, like, one of the smartest things, like, for these ongoing music license, like, games. Becoming a platform and, like, running like a platform is, like, your best. And considering Epic owns Harmonix now, like, this is one of the few consistent rhythm games we're getting. It's not my cup of tea personally, but, you know. No. I'd like an annualized Rock Band Unplugged. That's what, like, I need. Or, like, an
Amplitude. Honestly, or just like a
decent... I could go for a Rock Band again.
Not even a yearly release, just actually, like... an actual decent live service version of it where it's just like you just got new songs every season. Like, that's...
Yeah, I mean, Ubisoft is doing that. They did it with Rocksmith. So Rocksmith is kind of like a platform now where it's like you have like a rotating selection of free songs. You can buy songs. Mm-hmm. And they're actually teaching you how to play the guitar instead of it just being like...
Yeah.
Which, that's like pretty bastardized cool. version of it.
Yeah. But also, though, the bastardized version is the only version you can actually play drunk. So,
true.
Yeah, I'm not.
I mean, unless you're really good at playing the guitar, and you can probably play it drunk.
Yeah,
it's all muscle memory.
help you loosen up.
When you're good
help
at
all affect your muscles best. And your memories. I feel like that's stacking three debuffs on you.
That doesn't mean you don't know how to play right, it if you played it for a long time. I mean, if I picked up a guitar
when they're performing, you know?
Yeah. They're rock stars. They can't be sober. It's in their contract.
Right.
Like they're on different type. They're on stimulants, not depressants.
That's true.
It's the reason. Things that actually help your muscle and your memory.
They feel the music, man.
You know, they're on better drugs than that.
All right. So the next game is Silent Hope. I don't think I have anything in particular to say about it.
Nope.
Anybody? No. Okay. Then we got Metal Gear Solid Master Collection Volume 1. And it seems like since this announcement that Metal Gear Solid Master Collection Volume 2 got leaked. Because the website updated to add the additional information that was like given in the Nintendo Direct. And it also showed Metal Gear Solid 4, Peace Walker, and 5 as the Master Collection Volume 2. Which, for me, this is cool because these games being preserved in perpetuity now at this point is, like, being able to play Metal Gear Solid 1 through 5 plus, like, have all this supplemental information. Like, they have straight-up guidebook scans in these collections. Like, Konami...
You can't say that Metal Gear is able to play in perpetuity until we get an actual digital access... until we're able to actually access the PSP version. That's actually a big chunk of the lore.
Oh, yeah. The acid and... Well, Peace Walker is the most important thing. And Peace Walker is going to be part of this. But... and I don't think acid was canon.
Was it?
Portable ops and acid, I don't think, are canon. Which are, like, the PSP ones. The only canon one from PSP was Peace Walker, and that is the one that they like are continuing like as. Yeah,
it's weird because they talk about stuff that happened in Portable Ops in 4. It's weird. Oh. Canon is weird. Canon's fucking weird.
Yeah, canon. But Metal Gear is weird. Kojima is weird. Like we got a.
And it's also going to be hilarious to see people who all the people who talk about Metal Gear who haven't played 4 actually have to play 4 now. That's going to be funny.
I've never gotten a chance to play 4. Like, it was kind of one of those things. Like, I saw it on PS3, tried the demo, wasn't really into it. Just didn't know the history, like, didn't have, like, any affinity for the history of Metal Gear.
Well, 4, in my opinion, is definitely a game that feels like... It's the video game embodiment of, I didn't want to make another game in this franchise. We should have let it die with the... At the high, that was the last game. But since the customers and the producers demand another one, like you're going through the greatest hits in like this really spiteful way.
I mean, and then, I'm just and glad then the narrative that ends. These games,
and then they end it all, and then they write it in a way where it's like the ending of MGS4. It's like, no, this is over. You're not getting another one. And then 5 was did. 5.
And then right. and then 5 was like, this is the end.
No, and 5 wasn't even like, this is the end. 5 was like, haha, sucker, you're not even playing as Snake. Eat a dick. Like, wholesale! Wholesale!
Playing as Big Boss.
5 was like, literally... No, you weren't. 5 was like, you're playing a Metal Gear game in name only. That's literally the entire plot of 5.
But wait, that wasn't Big Boss?
Nope. You remember how you had to do a character creator at the beginning of the game?
That was your online character.
Nope. That character got facial reconstructive surgery to look like Big Boss. Nope. You were never playing as Big Boss. Spoilers for MGS5.
Sorry?
Right? The Metal Gear games are as much about Kojima as they are about Metal Gear. That's what makes them insane.
Metal I do want to know, like, how are they going to make it work? Isn't it there, like, the one of the final bosses in 2 that you have to unplug your controller and put it in the second slot?
Oh, that's in 1. Apparently, oh, that's in 2. Ways around no, that's... that. That's Wait. 1. Psycho Mantis.
I thought it was two.
Oh, yeah. Psycho Mantis is one. I mean, really, but they got rid of... But also, that was just an optional thing. Really, the thing that they wanted to keep for Psycho Mantis is the whole reading your game data.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, all of those different things, there are ways around it. Because, like, Metal Gear Solid, there's a PC port that's available on GOG. So, like, the game's not totally, like, constricted to the PS1. So, there are updated versions of that game that have workarounds for the fact that it's not on a PS1.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So while we're talking about Konami games, Konami owns Castlevania, and Vampire Survivors is coming to Switch. It needs to come to PlayStation. Honestly, like, it'd get a lot more playtime for me if they would
I think it's going to come with the multiplayer update, because Vampire Survivors is supposed to get multiplayer, too.
Yeah, that was one of the big things that was announced at the Nintendo Direct. That trailer was the first time they talked about local co-op. And, like, since then, they've said that it's coming to the PC, mobile, and Xbox versions. But, so, the fact that it's available on Steam, it's available on Android and iOS, it's available on Xbox, and now it's going to be available on Switch, and I'm still sitting here waiting to earn trophies on the PlayStation version. Because that would be a great palate cleanser in between, like, long sessions of Final Fantasy 16. Like,
it's almost like you just put that on your Steam Deck and you don't even have to close
it. It's permanently installed on my Steam Deck, and I have, like, I do pick up my Steam Deck for Vampire Survivors more than I pick it up for any other reason. So, but that doesn't stop me from wanting it on PlayStation.
I can see the convenience of just, like, kind of pressing the middle button, going over to Vampire Survivor and just having, like, a couple hour sessions.
Right. So the next game they talked about was Headbangers, Rhythm Royale. The text is way too small for me to read that.
What if Rock Loving Pigeons was it's a rhythm based battle royale. That's what it is.
It's Fall Guys, but a rhythm game.
Yeah. It looks fun. I'm never going to play it.
Like, if it's free to play, multi platform, like.
Yeah, okay. If it's not on the Switch, if it's on PlayStation.
It looks like it could. Outside of the fact it's like the whole battle royale thing, but it's like. It looks like it could be fun.
Yeah, I'm saying
it looks like a fun rhythm game you could just have on your Switch.
Yeah.
Yeah, but because
I was kind of hoping it was like not a Switch game. It was more of like a WarioWare kind of game where you're just kind of playing these.
There's 20 mini games.
Yeah, like playing a bunch of mini games and getting through them. Because that seems like a Nintendo-ass thing to game to have.
It worked for both guys for a good minute.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's coming to PlayStation. And nope, that's not the same thing on Steam. But yeah, there's at least a trailer for it on PlayStation's YouTube channel, so it's not, at least not Switch exclusive.
That's cool.
All right, so I almost called it Wario Kart. Looking at a picture of Wario and reading Mario Kart doesn't work. Mario Kart 8 Wave 5 of the DLC is coming out. It has three new characters. Kamek, PD Piranha, and...
PD Piranha's back from Double Dash!
Yep. We're really getting to the point that Mario Kart 8 was a last-gen game that they ported to this gen and just have added so much content over this gen that we're probably not getting Mario Kart 9 until next gen.
Honestly, I would rather, instead of getting a Mario Kart 9, I would rather get a next-gen Mario Kart complete. Just put everything Mario Kart into one fucking
game.
That's what
8 Deluxe was when it first came out.
Well, it's not everything, though.
Yeah, I mean...
You mean, like...
I want everything.
Yeah, there that was everything until it sold so much that they were like, oh, we got to start making DLC for this last-gen game.
But the thing about it is, like, PDs came from double... All the characters except for, no, every single character came from a different Mario Kart game. PD came from Double Dash, Wiggler came from 7, and Kamek came from Tour. Like, a lot of what they're adding in...
So you want
everything from every Mario game, every Mario Kart game in one Mario Kart game. That's why I was like, I want a Mario Kart complete. I want everything.
I want Nintendo Kart, because them adding the Inklings and Link and Animal Crossing Villagers to Mario Kart 8, like, I want Nintendo Kart. I want this Smash Brothers roster... In a kart racing game.
Mario Kart Ultimate.
Banjo Kazooie, Diddy Kong Racing. Like, just everything.
Yeah.
Crash never made it into Smash, but so.
I mean, Crash has already got a kart game. Put him in Mario Kart.
Nintendo Kart, I'm telling you.
Nintendo Kart.
Heck, I'd be with it. Smash
Kart.
I would, yeah.
Super Smash Kart? Yeah.
I mean, Mario Kart 8 is one of the most perfect Mario Kart games. It's a really good Mario Kart.
Yeah, and like the fact that this DLC, like, we just got it free as part of Nintendo Switch Online, and the amount of content that's in it that I just haven't had a chance to go back and even get around to.
Nope. I mean, it is one of those things, like, I was playing a bunch of Mario Kart when I first got the Switch. And would play all of it and then, like, go to a friend's house and then we would play Mario Kart. But it's like, I guess we don't all go to each other's houses and play on couches as much as we used to. So it's like Mario Kart's not getting as much plays.
Yeah, I feel like we could have played some Mario Kart when we were at the beach, but Zelda was, like, I had Mario Kart with me, but I didn't have it digitally, so, like, you guys easily were able to just boot up Smash Bros. Because I had that digitally with everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, having Mario Kart physically in my Switch would have helped with that, because Zelda being in there. Like, I did do a little bit of Zelda playing, but after that, it could have really been Mario Kart.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, then we got a Star Ocean remake that's not HD 2D, but is like a unique art style for like a remake of an old JRPG.
And they're adjusting the difficulty.
Was it really hard back in the day, or just?
Yeah, because apparently this is a PSP port.
Oh.
Of a remake of a PS1 game, but like when they did PSP ports of PS1 games in that like era, they were ridiculously hard. So,
for no reason. You know, this art style reminds me of Octopath.
Yeah, that's HD2D, but it's not that. It's kind of like Suikoden, like the Suikoden remakes they're doing. They have that kind of like unique pixel art, like tilt shift kind of, but it's not HD2D. Because the last HD2D we got was Octopath Traveler 2, and the next one we're probably going to get is the Dragon Quest III HD2D remake. Oh, well, Live Alive. We got the Live Alive on, like, HD2D remake on Steam and PlayStation most recently. I think that was the most recent HD2D game we got. All right, and the last game, WarioWare Move It.
Yeah, another WarioWare with move controls.
Yeah, I didn't play Smooth Moves. I really like Wario games. Apparently, Smooth Moves was, like, one of people's favorites. I never really got to play Gold, and then the one on Switch before this one, people didn't seem to really like, but I really like WarioWare Touched. I really like WarioWare Twisted. I really like WarioWare Ink. All of those, like, the Game Boy and DS era of WarioWare games is top tier. GBA and DS.
Look, that era of Nintendo was like one of the best.
And so, even though I never played the Wii one, this seems to be a follow-up to the Wii one, and it looks fun. Like, it looks interesting. One of my favorite parts about the Wario games is when they just straight up have, like, mini-games out of other games. So, like, there's Motion Control Mario 64 mini-games in this. So, because, like, what's that, 9-volt? Like, where it's just like, oh, 9-volt likes playing Nintendo games, so we're going to have mini-games out of other Nintendo games.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it looks good. I mean, but it's one of those things where it's like, I know I'm not going to play it just because gaming at this moment in time is just utterly too fucking stacked.
Yeah.
Like, there's too many stuff just already out. And we're not going to even mention October of this year. Just, we're ignoring that entire month entirely. It's just like,
it's a lot. Insane October.
Right?
All right. So the one other thing that wasn't on that list of headlines we were going through that I want to talk about that came out of the Nintendo Direct is we're getting two more Zelda Amiibos. So right after I buy 38 Zelda Amiibo cards, they want to announce two more that I'm like, damn, do I get the figures? Because they look really good. I was already thinking of getting the Tears of the Kingdom Link Amiibo, but yeah. I could probably get the Tears of the Kingdom Link Zelda and Ganondorf. Have, like, the Triforce, you know? They look really good, I will say.
Okay.
Like, they look
so really it's good. More than just, like, a function. It's, like, they're kind of a nice set piece to have.
Yeah, they're cool. They, like, the Zelda Amiibos overall are pretty cool, like, pretty good looking, but the Tears of the Kingdom ones, like, maybe it's just because, like, I like Tears of the Kingdom so much, because I felt that way about Breath of the Wild Amiibos, like, mm-hmm. I got Rider Link and Archer Link and Breath of the Wild Zelda, and mm-hmm. because, like, I really like the style of these more modern Zelda games.
Oh, yeah, they're really cool.
All right, so moving on from the Nintendo Direct, this week, it finally happened, everybody. Final Fantasy 16 is out.
It's here.
Available for the masses. You can buy it. You can play it. You can love it. I'm seeing more and more people, like, turning negative on this game, but the more I play it, the more I enjoy it.
What are you seeing that people are saying negative things about
it? Just like it's not
usual JR Japanese action RPG combat shit. I beat my games by mashing the square button, never swim below basic combos, and claim that the game is, you know, button mashy.
See, that's the problem I was having, and then I went to the Discord and I was like, "What are you guys doing? Because you're enjoying the fuck out of this game. Like, I'm obviously doing something wrong here."
Well, and then, that's the thing. How far did you get?
I got Garuda.
Okay, and, so you haven't gotten your limit break yet.
No.
Okay, so, like, that's the thing, is once you get Garuda, you see it start to open up. But that's the thing. Garuda's one of... So you start with the Phoenix, then you get Garuda, and then there's Ramu, there's Shiva, there's Bahamut, there's Titan, there's... Odin.
And don't each one of them gives you more, like, combat options?
Yeah. That's the thing. So,
like, I got Garuda and was, like, already starting to do more. And I was like, oh, okay, I kind of see where this game's going to go. Yeah. I like this.
And it gives you three that you can have equipped at any time for their, like, circle special attack. Like, whatever move you do when you press circle. So, like, Phoenix is dash towards the enemy. Garuda is, like, grapple the enemy to you. So everybody has a different circle move, but then once you master one of the abilities, you can use that ability on any of... So, like, if I master an ability for Phoenix, but I don't want to keep... I don't want to use the dash to people as part of my moveset, I can equip that move to a different icon and still use it.
That's cool.
Some of the reviews of that game are literally sounds like, I played Devil May Cry 5 as Dante and didn't... stance swap at all. It's like, come on. If you're going to play an action game, at least attempt to, like, get a feel for the combat.
Well, I mean, I also understand some of the criticisms of people saying that it is not heavy on the RPG elements, like that.
Okay, that I'm not touching. That part I'm not touching. And also, I didn't play the damn game, so.
Well, yeah.
Honestly, that's the best part about it.
There are little to no actual, like, RPG elements. Like, there's no... You level up and you get stats that you can't reallocate. You can't do anything with them.
But let's be real. Final Fantasy is an RPG outside of... For a long time, didn't actually have you allocating stats. Like, Final Fantasy was never a game that really had you allocating stats like that.
Yeah. I mean, but... And you're right. But just... It doesn't have a party, which is true. Like, you have you and you have Torgal some of the time. And you have companions some of the time. But it's not really a party game.
It's about you. It's about Clive.
Right, but there's also the issue of Clive at most has 6 abilities that he can use at any given time, and there are like 35 plus abilities like available. So considering you having like the ability to use such a limited pool of the moves,
yeah,
that are in the game at any given time, even with everything maxed all the way out,
yeah,
like so. Some of the
I get that. I
some of those critiques that I'm seeing are completely valid. As somebody who's playing and enjoying, like, the side quests feel like MMO side quests because it's from the MMO team. And, like, I get that that's not for you, but I've like, that's not for everybody, but I've played probably 1,000 hours of Final Fantasy XIV at this point, and this is just what you do.
Yeah.
Also, most side quests in RPGs are go over here and collect
these
this thing.
These are kind of egregious. I
kind of laughed when I did my first 2 side quests because it felt like I was back in 14 again.
Yeah,
I was like, I'm delivering like bowls of soup and or grabbing planks of wood for the carpenter, and I was like, I'm playing fucking 14.
Yeah, you can totally see the Final Fantasy 14 influence, and if you don't like Final Fantasy 14. I could see that being a turnoff because that was a turnoff for me with that game for a long time.
Yeah.
Fair.
That's fair.
But I will say this game is gorgeous. I'm playing on performance mode. I'm not noticing. Like, I noticed early on some frame rate stuff, but it's like the more I play, the less I notice, like, problems with the game keeping up, especially because, like, there's more combat, and the combat has... has been a rock solid lock 60 where it's the most important. And then the cutscenes being locked at 30 and like being able to show like all that fidelity. It's just, it's great.
It's awesome. This game's good.
There are long sections. It's like super high octane. And then it's like 2 hours of just walking around, talking to people, picking up things that like a courier dropped out of his bag along his route. But like for me, I'm going through, I'm doing everything, I'm fighting as much as possible, I'm like trying to grind, trying to level up, trying to make sure like I'm getting the crafting materials so like all my gear and stuff is as upgraded as possible. But the interesting thing is, so let's say you have 2000 HP, right? The highest stat attributes you can get on a piece of gear to add to your HP is 20 HP. So that's how little of a percentage that even your gear matters to your stats overall.
So you're just like kind of glamoring?
Essentially, like, I feel like so far, because did you get the deluxe edition, Chris, or did you just get the regular edition? And when did you get it? Like, I saw you were like saying you hadn't gotten it yet, and the next thing I know, you're asking about, like, does this combat get better?
I bought it Friday when I got paid. I was busy yesterday, so I couldn't play it. And then I woke up at 9 today and was like, fuck it, let me just boot it up.
Yeah, once we're done with this, I'm going to probably play a couple more hours before bed.
I do know that, like, I feel like with this kind of game, at least for me, I can play a solid few hour sessions, and then I gotta be like, okay, I gotta stop.
Yeah.
Because it is a lot of...
The good thing is, like, it's very splash screeny, so you definitely know when you finished a story mission, and it's like, all right, here's a good stopping point. Or when, like, where I left off right before we came to record, there were three side quests that were available to me. So I picked up one, and then I went and I did the second one all the way through. And then I went and picked up the third one, and so I have to go do the first one and then do the third one and before I go on to my next story mission, just because, like, I'm trying to make sure as I go through every subquest that or side quest that becomes unlocked, that I'm doing it immediately just so I get that more XP. I get, because I haven't needed Gil. The only things I can't afford right now are the orchestration rolls, which are obscenely expensive. They're like 40,000
Gil. Yeah, like 40,000 Gil. I was like, what the fuck?
So, like,
I mean, I get it, but
yeah, if weapons aren't even 1,000 Gil and the orchestration, like, that's definitely new game plus shit, and I'll get that when I get that.
Yeah.
It is nice seeing, like, the 14 influence in this game is kind of charming to me personally. Yeah. Like, it's like, yeah, you definitely can tell that, like, when you're delivering key items and it has you, like, select them similar to the way that it has you select them in 14 and turn the hand them over. Like, it's endearing. And
yeah.
For me, I can totally see, like, for me, this might be game of the year so far, but I could totally see why the general consensus won't be, like, I don't think Final Fantasy has ever won game of the year. Like, there hasn't been a single Final Fantasy that has won, like, either game awards or, like, even particular, like, site. Like, there's no notable record of a Final Fantasy, like, outside of, like, 14 getting best ongoing game or best community support or stuff like that. There's no history of Final Fantasy winning game of the year. And while, in my opinion, it is my game of the year, like, Tears of the Kingdom had a game of the year moment, but, like, for me, this is just, like, even just thinking about it right now, Final Fantasy 16 is... It was my most anticipated game, and it is delivering. And the argument, like, just sticking on the train of, like, some of the criticism around this game, one of the criticisms pre-launch is that there are no black people in the game, but one of the consistent themes of the game is slavery, and all it would have taken is one black character being branded for that entire thing to go south, and I really don't think that the team that worked on the game would have had the narrative nuance to be able to handle, like, a black person being called. But
that's also asking a lot of media literacy from your audience. That's also something else.
Well, like, this game does ask a lot of, like, this game having active it has multiple systems for explaining to you at any given time what's going on, who everybody is. Because there's active time lore where you can hold down the touchpad. And I didn't realize if you pause a cutscene,
you can also do it.
Touchpad and, like, see the active time lore of the people in the cutscenes. I didn't know that. But then there's a guy in the hideout who is just like, here's a glossary of everything. Here's, like, because active time lore is just kind of, like, relative. It'll be four things in relation to what's actively going on or what you're actively doing, but the guy in the hideout has just a glossary of all the lore, all the information, all the backstories of all the kingdoms and all of that.
So, implies people who play games are actually going to read what's on screen.
I've had to follow the story, because
I'm not saying that it's not a good thing to have. I'm saying it's a good thing to have. What I'm saying is, at the end of the day, some people are unable to, they just refuse to actually engage with the story. I'm not saying active time is bad, because I personally think that's a feature every story-heavy game needs to have from now on, in my personal opinion. or at least also, a really good journal.
It's not in the way. The one thing I will say is, like, people who are complaining about active time lore, I don't understand, because it's not in the way. You just don't utilize it. Like, if you don't want to utilize it, just don't.
Well, no, I don't see people complaining about active time lore.
I feel like a bunch, that's all of, like, people were saying, like, I don't know why active time lore is in this game. Like, it's like a...
Oh, no. Like, I see a lot of people clamoring it for it to be a standard from now on.
Oh.
So I haven't seen any negative responses as far as, like,
active time. A lot of the early negative responses to the active time lore came from less than reputable publications.
Yeah.
Right. Like, for me, it's been great, like, and just, like, as I use it more and, like, as the story gets more complex, because there are twists and turns, and we're traveling, like, between empires, and, like, different people have different views on different, like, classes of people, and, like, where it all fits in, like, I have found it super useful. And now there's an NPC that tells me when there are side quests. Like, before, I would kind of just have to look around the map and see if there were any green exclamation marks and go there. But now there's a person in the hideout that's like, hey, somebody over here needs help. You want to go help him? And you can just fast travel directly from dialogue with him to where the side quest is.
That's dope.
Yeah. Best one thing I'll say that's next gen is all shit about this game is the load times. Like, there's no loading screen because it just fades to black and fades back up. And some of the fast traveling I've been doing where I'm just, like, popping around to a bunch of different places, it's so fast and so useful that, like, yes, I noticed fast travel times decreasing in the newer gen of games, but I don't know. A lot about Final Fantasy 16 is just, like, this is one of the first games that I've played that really feels next generation. Like, sure, it's a single-player AAA JRPG, an action RPG, third-person character action game. It's a lot of these things. But it just does a lot with the presentation, with, like, yes, it's running at 30 frames per second at times. Yes. When you're running it in performance mode, it'll drop down to 720p. But you never really notice any of those issues because, like, the overall package is so well polished and well presented, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And yeah, so, I mean, I highly look forward to playing more of this game. Like, that's, like, once we're done recording, I'm going to, like I said, boot it back up and hop back in and play some more. And next time I record Table Cheese, it's just going to be me sitting down with D trying to, like, because I know he was somebody I talked to. Like, I talked about it on this podcast as well of, like, this is my most anticipated game of this year. And, like, just following the news on it, getting hype about it, pre-ordering it. For me, D, like, June has just been, like, yeah, counting down the days till Final Fantasy 16. And now that it's finally here and I've played, one thing I'll complain about is there's no good way to gauge how much time you've spent on the game unless you keep track of it yourself, because as we discussed when we first brought out the list of, like, people's most played games according to PlayStation, like, the PSN game time tracking is just all types of fucked up. So, I remember I had just got finished playing, like, a 3-hour session of playing the game, and I looked at my play time and it said 1 hour, and I was like, I know for a fact that I just sat here and played for 3 hours. So I definitely, and this is after, like, the 2 hours of the demo, and this is after probably, I'd say, like, the 30-minute play session when it dropped Wednesday night at midnight. I played for about 30 minutes and then power went, so I was like, fuck. But
ain't that some shit.
Yeah. Alright. Well, we've been going for about an hour. I think we've had a solid episode. Went over the Nintendo Direct. Got to talk about Final Fantasy 16. Do either you have one more thing before we wrap for the week? Call it quits?
No. Those are the only two things I've done.
All right. Well, for eagle-eared listeners, Madrid wasn't here because power went at his place right before we... Like, we were literally in the Discord call, and then Madrid froze. And then when Madrid came back, it was through a Discord call on his phone with no power. So, for eagle-eared listeners that notices the lack of Madrid this late in the episode, that's their explanation right there. Enjoy that. All right. And until next time, this has been a Know It's Good production. You can follow us all collectively around the internet, CheesyControllerPodcast.com. The video version is edited by Lana Twisted Mind. The video version is Lana Twisted Mind. The audio version is Akuma Santi. Chris, if people are looking for you, where can they find you?
Pop in our Discord. Cheesy Controller Podcast is the place to be.
All right, Jalen, where can people find you?
Another show for the Discord.
All right, and you can find me in the Discord or on Twitter at Anton6 with three X's, or you can find me on the Table Cheese podcast on the FTO Nerd Talk podcast feed, available everywhere that Cheesy Controller Podcast is. So all you got to do is type in FTO Nerd Talk, and you can listen to all his shows, but if you want to hear more of me, listen to Table Cheese. Until next time, keep it cheesy.